Welcome to the Zymeworks webcast and conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Dr. Ryan Derko, Senior Director, Corporate Affairs, Zymeworks. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. As mentioned, my name is Ryan Derko, Senior Director, Corporate Affairs at Zymeworks. Today, we will provide an update on Zymeworks' key business drivers, including clinical trial updates and development plans for our lead assets, as well as a strategic summary of recent announced partnerships. The call will be led by Dr. Ali Tehrani, Zymeworks President and Chief Executive Officer, and Dr. Diana Hausman, Zymeworks Chief Medical Officer. The speakers will be available for Q&A after the prepared remarks. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that we will be making forward-looking statements during this call. Forward-looking statements can be identified by words such as will, continue, aim, may, potential, of, initiate, lead to, look forward to, expect, believe, plan, anticipate, enable, and similar words. Forward-looking statements are based upon the current expectations and various assumptions and are subject to the usual risks and uncertainties associated with companies in our industry and at our stage of development. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, we refer you to our 10-Q for the quarter ended March 31st, 2020, as well as to our other filings with the SEC. As a reminder, the audio and slides of today's event will be available on Zymeworks' website later today. I will now turn the call over to Ali.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. The focus of today's call is to highlight the transition of our lead therapeutic program, ZW25, from early into late-stage clinical development, which provides a clear path towards Zymeworks seeking its first drug approval in biliary tract cancer in 2022. We will present updated data supporting our conviction to this end. We will also present updated data supporting our upcoming plans to launch another pivotal study in first-line gastric cancer going head-to-head against Herceptin as the standard of care. These accomplishments further deliver on our objective of getting ZW25 to patients as quickly as possible and also providing a new standard of care with greater benefit. I am also personally proud of the other aspect of these accomplishments, which further highlight the strength of our platforms to research and develop first and best-in-class multifunctional therapeutics. I will now hand things over to our Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Diana Hausman, to provide the clinical update, and then I will be back to highlight other accomplishments and closing thoughts.
Thank you, Ali. These are exciting times for both of our lead clinical programs, ZW25 and ZW49. And we're working hard to advance them through clinical development with the goal of providing new options for patients with HER2-expressing cancers. Starting with ZW25, I'm excited to announce that we have taken a big step towards achieving that goal with the initiation of the first clinical site in our phase 2 registration-enabling study in HER2-positive second-line biliary tract cancer. This represents a major milestone for ZW25 and for Zymeworks. And as we advance into this late stage of clinical development, I want to note that going forward, we will be using the name zanidatamab instead of ZW25. Biliary tract cancers, which include cholangiocarcinomas, gallbladder cancers, and some ampullary cancers, are relatively rare tumors that account for approximately 3% of all adult cancers worldwide. Biliary tract cancers have a poor prognosis and high unmet medical need. Patients are often diagnosed with advanced disease and are frequently in poor medical condition. Treatment options are limited and consist primarily of cytotoxic chemotherapy. Current standard of care for first-line treatment of advanced disease is gemcitabine and cisplatinum, associated with a response rate of 26% and overall survival of just under 1 year. Subsequent second-line therapy is also limited primarily to chemotherapy, with response rates in the single digits and survival of about 6 months. Recent advances in the treatment of biliary tract cancers include a focus on targeted agents and chemo-free regimens. Pemigatinib, an oral tyrosine kinase inhibitor, recently received accelerated approval based on a response rate of 36% for previously treated patients with fibroblast growth factor receptor fusions and rearrangements, which are found in up to 16% of intrahepatic cholangiocarcinomas. Approximately 19% of biliary tract cancers are HER2-positive, defined by overexpression and/or gene amplification of HER2. The frequency of HER2 positivity is greatest in gallbladder cancers and extrahepatic cholangiocarcinomas, although it is also present in approximately 5% of intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma. As we presented previously at the ESMO Asia Conference in November 2019, zanidatamab has demonstrated encouraging single-agent activity in patients with advanced biliary tract cancer, with durable responses and a favorable safety profile. Since last November, we have continued to recruit patients into our ongoing Phase 1 study. And as you can see on slide 4, in this snapshot of data from an unlocked database from May of this year, we continue to see exciting anti-tumor activity with tumor shrinkage and responses that compares quite favorably to the single-digit response rate seen with chemotherapy, as well as to the response rate that contributed to pemigatinib approval. We met with the FDA late last year, and based on those discussions, have initiated a global Phase 2 study of single-agent zanidatamab in patients with advanced, previously treated HER2 gene-amplified biliary tract cancer to support accelerated approval based on a primary endpoint of objective response rate and secondary endpoints of duration of response and safety. We are conducting the study in collaboration with our development partner, BeiGene, and plan on enrolling approximately 100 patients with either gallbladder cancer or extrahepatic or intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma at sites located in North America, Europe, Asia, and South America. Additional details can be found on clinicaltrials.gov. We currently have orphan drug and fast track designations from the FDA for zanidatamab in HER2-positive biliary tract cancer and are exploring opportunities for breakthrough therapy designation. This study may enable filing of a BLA as early as 2022, and we plan on initiating a confirmatory study of zanidatamab in combination with chemotherapy as first-line treatment for patients with advanced HER2-positive biliary tract cancers in the second half of 2021. We're truly excited about the potential benefit zanidatamab may provide and believe the study will help establish a new standard of care for patients with advanced pretreated HER2-positive disease. We've also been making great progress in our program in gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma, or GEA, and are planning a second registration-enabling study for zanidatamab as first-line treatment for advanced HER2-positive GEA based on the strength of data we are generating in our ongoing Phase 1 and 2 studies. Gastric cancer, which includes gastric and gastroesophageal junction cancers, is the fifth most common cancer worldwide and the third leading cause of cancer death. Up to 30% of gastric cancers are HER2-positive, and current standard of care for these tumors, as well as HER2-positive esophageal adenocarcinomas, consists of Herceptin in combination with chemotherapy. This approval was based on the TOGA trial, which demonstrated a response rate of 47%, progression-free survival of about 7 months, and overall survival of about 14 months. It's important to note, however, that standard of care may be evolving as ongoing Phase 3 studies are evaluating addition of a PD-1 inhibitor or other immunotherapy to a HER2-targeted agent in the first-line setting. As we presented last fall at ESMO and the triple meeting in Boston, zanidatamab has demonstrated encouraging anti-tumor activity in heavily pretreated HER2-expressing GEA with good tolerability and durable disease control and responses, both as a single agent and in combination with chemotherapy. We've been expanding these data sets, and as you can see on slide 5, again in a snapshot from an unlocked database, in 34 response-evaluable patients with HER2-expressing GEA, we continue to see exciting single-agent anti-tumor activity with a 38% response rate and 62% disease control rate in patients who have received a median of 3 prior lines of treatment, including Herceptin. We've also expanded our experience in combination with either paclitaxel or capecitabine, both of which are used as single-agent chemotherapies for patients with progression after first-line treatment. As illustrated on slide six, combining zanidatamab with chemotherapy appears to contribute to increased response rates. We are currently seeing an overall response rate of 55%, including a 60% response rate in combination with paclitaxel. As a comparator, the response rate for paclitaxel alone in second-line HER2-positive GEA is about 20%. Based on the promising data we've seen with zanidatamab in GEA patients after multiple lines of treatment, including Herceptin, we are moving forward with our program in first-line HER2-positive GEA. Our phase 2 first-line study with zanidatamab plus standard of care chemotherapy is ongoing, with patients enrolling in North America and South Korea, and we're very encouraged by the early data from this study. In addition, Beijing recently announced initiation of a complementary phase 2 trial, which is evaluating zanidatamab and standard of care chemo in combination with their PD-1 inhibitor, tislelizumab. Based on our phase 1 data, as well as the evolving data from the ongoing phase 2 studies in first-line GEA, we believe zanidatamab is well positioned to take on current and potential new standard of care regimens and to ultimately replace Herceptin as a backbone HER2-targeted agent for GEA. We currently have orphan drug and fast track designation for zanidatamab in GEA and are planning on holding discussions with regulatory agencies this fall to initiate a phase 3 registrational study early next year. In addition, as seen on slide 7, we are continuing to evaluate zanidatamab in HER2-positive breast cancer and other cancers such as colorectal cancer, where we continue to see encouraging anti-tumor activity. In HER2-positive breast cancer, we are enrolling patients in our combination phase 2 study with palbociclib and fulvestrant that we are conducting in collaboration with Pfizer in North America and Spain. We are also evaluating zanidatamab in combination with chemotherapy to support moving forward into earlier lines of breast cancer treatment, as well as exploring potential novel combinations. In addition, Beijing is conducting a phase 2 study of zanidatamab in combination with docetaxel in the first-line treatment of HER2-positive breast cancer. Turning to our second clinical candidate, the HER2 bispecific antibody-drug conjugate, ZW49. While we are not providing a data update today, I wanted to provide a status update on the ongoing clinical trial. ZW49 is continuing to be evaluated in the clinic, although enrollment in the first half of the year was impacted by COVID-19. I'm happy to say that enrollment is back on track and accelerating, and we are continuing to enroll patients. In addition, 4 new sites have recently opened to recruitment in the United States, and by coordinating with Beijing, we are also accelerating the initiation of phase 1 sites in certain Asia-Pacific countries. I will now hand things back to Ali.
Thank you, Diana. In addition to the clinical updates described by Diana, we're excited to highlight important business development announcements related to 2 of our longtime partners. Earlier today, we announced that we have entered into a new multi-specific antibody collaboration with Merck to develop antibody therapeutic candidates using our industry-leading Azymetric and EFEC platforms. Our original collaboration with Merck has been successful to date with numerous technical milestones achieved, including an expansion in 2014. The new collaboration announced today enables Merck to continue using our technologies as core development platforms to develop additional bispecific and multispecific candidates. Under the terms of this new agreement, we will provide Merck with a worldwide royalty-bearing license to research, develop, and commercialize up to three new multispecific antibody toward Merck's therapeutic targets in human health. In exchange, Zymeworks will receive an undisclosed upfront payment and is eligible to receive up to $411 million in option exercise fees and clinical development and regulatory approval milestone payments, and up to $480 million in commercial milestone payments, as well as tiered royalties on worldwide sales. Furthermore, in a demonstration of the utility and flexibility of our platforms, Merck will also receive a worldwide royalty-bearing license to research, develop, and commercialize up to three multispecific antibodies in animal health in exchange for additional milestone payments and tiered royalties. Merck is a global leader in oncology, and we're excited that they recognize the value our technologies contribute towards the development of a broad spectrum of best and first-in-class candidates for human and animal alike. We're also excited to announce that our long-term partner Celgene, now a part of Bristol-Myers Squibb, recently expanded our collaboration to include the use of our silenced Fc effector function portion of the EFECT platform to be used in conjunction with the Azymetric platform. Together with the technology expansion, we also extend the research period to which BMS can continue to leverage both the Azymetric and EFECT platforms. Celgene, prior to their acquisition by BMS, was making tremendous progress in bringing bispecific and multispecific programs towards the clinic. The extension under the BMS umbrella is a show of continued commitment to developing innovative biologics anchored with the Azymetric platform, and we look forward to updating you on specific progress in the near future. The upfront payment for this extension is $12 million. Other preclinical development and commercial milestones are unchanged, with a deal totaling $1.7 billion plus tiered royalties on future sales for the 10 potential programs under this collaboration. With our platform collaborations overall, there continues to be over 45 programs in active research and development, and we look forward to providing specific updates and milestone achievements in the future. So far, we've heard several important clinical and business development updates today, and I would like to conclude by summarizing the key takeaways and then highlight the upcoming catalysts. Regarding ZW49, while our progress in the first half of the year was limited, Zymeworks 49 remains a top priority, and we're taking steps to accelerate the advancement of the program. As we've said before, we remain committed to providing a full data update prior to the start of the cohort expansion phase. Regarding zanidatamab, the key takeaways include strong single-agent data in biliary tract cancer supporting the decision to initiate a registration-enabling study with the potential opportunity to submit a BLA application in 2022. Our data supports the thesis that zanidatamab can become the standard of care in HER2-positive biliary tract cancer. We also showed very compelling and competitive data in GEA for zanidatamab as a single agent and in combination with chemotherapy. Based on these data and the preliminary data from our ongoing phase twos, we believe zanidatamab can compete favorably against the standard of care and other emerging therapies. And last but not least, the interest, the Azymetric platform for the development of multispecific antibodies remains as strong as ever, providing opportunities to partner and expand our access to non-dilutive cash flows and funding. In summary, the data that was updated today came from our phase one single agent and chemotherapy combinations, which are represented on slide 12. With respect to upcoming clinical catalysts, since the phase one, we have initiated five additional phase two trials, all of which we anticipate sharing initial data from over the next 6 to 12 months. In particular, we look forward to presenting these results from our ongoing phase 2 study of zanidatamab plus chemotherapy in first-line GEA, as well as the parallel phase 2 study of zanidatamab plus chemotherapy and the anti-PD-1 tezoluzumab in first-line GEA being conducted by Beijing. These data will provide important benchmarks as we move towards initiating our second registration-enabling study in first-line GEA early next year. Finally, as I mentioned earlier, we also look forward to presenting the results of the dose escalation phase of ZW49 ahead of starting the expansion cohorts. With a strong balance sheet on hand, providing a runway into 2022 and likely beyond, and the potential opportunities to expand and accelerate the development and commercialization of zanidatamab through strategic partnerships, we believe we're well positioned to deliver on our vision for both of our clinical assets.